Well, turn in your Bibles to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. Jesus takes most of this sermon and this sermon of sermons to give us the nuts and bolt realities of practical Christianity. And then he applies them by calling his hearers to respond to what he just said, or what they've heard. And in this section, Jesus makes a sharp contrast between those who really belong to his kingdom and those who have nothing to do with his kingdom. He makes a sharp contrast between those who are the true children of God and those who are just pretenders. Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to read 13 to the end of the chapter. We're going to just focus on the first 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Let's pray again. Oh, blessed be the name of our God. Help us to understand your word. Help us, help us. Oh, blessed Holy Spirit, come and help us. Bless your word. And more than that, make application to our own hearts and lives. We pray that you would so bless your word that every single one of us would believe it and follow Jesus and obey his word, that we would build our spiritual houses upon the rock, and that rock is Christ Jesus. Help us tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, I remind you, Jesus is speaking with holy authority as the Son of God. And he turns, as it were, our ears into eyes, and he draws us some word pictures, and he gives us four sets of metaphors. The first one, there are two gates. two gates, which represent two ways, two destinies. The second metaphor is two kinds of trees, good trees and bad trees, and those good trees and bad trees bear fruit. They bear two kinds of fruit, good and bad. And then there are two kinds of professing believers. One who says, Lord, Lord, and then boasts about all the things that they do. Have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then there are the other ones who just do the will of the Father. And the fourth metaphor, two kinds of builders. One who is wise and he builds his house on the rock. And one who's foolish builds his house on the sand. In this first set of these contrasting pictures of reality, Jesus forces us to think of the kingdom of heaven in terms of two gates and two pathways. Gate number one is called the narrow gate. And the word narrow comes from the Greek word stenos, from which we get stenographer, somebody that writes by compressing words into symbols. Or we get our word stenosis, a narrowing of a duct or a passage. Several years ago, I had neck surgery, and I went to the neurosurgeon, and he tells me, he says, you have a problem called cervical stenosis. There's a narrowing of the spinal canal in my neck, and what happened is it compressed my spinal cord. Stenosis. The narrow gate is compressed. That means it's very restrictive. Think about going through a security checkpoint at the airport. What happens when you go through the security checkpoint at the airport? First thing you do, take out your phone, take out your keys, put them in the plate, take off your shoes, take off your belt. Don't have any metal. And then you go through this wave scanner. And if you make it through there and your stuff makes it on the conveyor belt to the other end, then you get it. You put them back in your thing and you get ready. But you can't bring any guns or bombs. You can't bring any kind of metal. No knives. And that's what he's talking about. There's only one thing God lets through the narrow gate, and that is our humbled, sin-sick soul. That's all he lets you bring. To get through the narrow gate, you have to come in God's terms. God won't let you come on your own terms. God won't let any of us bring our pride, or self-respect, or self-worth, or our good works. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to your cross I cling. Jesus once told his disciples, you remember, he said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Can't bring any riches. Luke 13, 23 and 24, then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter in at the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter in and will not be able. And the word he uses when he says strive, that Greek word means to agonize. To agonize to get through that narrow gate. So it's something that's not easy, it's hard. Gate number two is a wide gate. Very large entryway or passageway. Very large. It has to be large because a whole world of people, all kinds of people go through it from every race and religion and background and perspective. They go through that gate every single day. It has to be large. And there are no rules. There are no restrictions. It's very easy and accommodating for everyone. And that's why it's so popular. It's interesting, I was reading The title page of Calvin's Institutes of the Christian Religion, published in 1561, bears a picture of the two gates. One narrow gate, and in front of it is a thorn bush. And over top of it, there's a crown. Just on the title page of his Institutes. The other broad gate has a flower at the entrance of it, and there's flames flaring over the top. So we have the narrow gate, and we have the wide gate. And then we have the wide gate, we're told, leads to the broad way. The broad way is the easy way. It's the way of least resistance. That's the way we normally like to go, the easy way. It's the way of self-esteem. It's the way of self-love. It's the way of self-indulgence. It's the way of pride and personal preference. Or in the words of that great anthem of self-esteem, some of you have heard it. I love to hear Frank Sinatra, but I don't like this one. He says, I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway, and much, much more than this. I did it my way. And other than that song, I love Frank Sinatra, or most of what he sings. The broad way is by far the most popular way of those two ways. There's lots of room on the broad and spacious road. Highway, it's a highway. There's a lot of room for diversity of opinions and diversity of beliefs. Broadway is for people who would like to have their own kind of religion, and it's for people who don't want any kind of religion. The Broadway welcomes anyone and everyone. The Broadway is a way of choice for anyone who wants to go to heaven on their own terms. Without all the hassle or the pressure or problems. They don't want any problems. It's the way for the people who don't like doctrines or duties or difficulties. They want it easy. Let's just make it easy. But Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. And he uses an aorist imperative verb communicating a sense of urgency. He's not suggesting that we take the narrow gate. He's not asking us to take the narrow gate. He's telling us, go in at the narrow gate now. That's essentially what he's saying. Why is the Lord Jesus so urgent, so insistent? Because he knows what's on the other side of both of those gates. That's why. He knows what's on the other side of the narrow gate, and he knows what's on the other side of the broad gate, the wide gate. Why is he so urgent, so insistent? Because our Lord Jesus is a loving Savior. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the only way for any of us to get into the narrow gate is only one way. You must be born again. You must come in by the new birth. You must, I must, we all must be made alive to God. Unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The narrow gate requires that we repent and believe the gospel. It requires real repentance and true faith. Real repentance is a heart revulsion of our sins. You know, not only our sins, but our sinful selves. Acts 3:19, repent and therefore be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. We must repent of our sins. And there are lots of reasons for that. But one of the biggest reasons is we must repent of our sins because our sins are against God. Psalm 51. The psalmist says, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from all mine iniquities, cleanse me from all of my sins. For I acknowledge my transgressions, my sins are ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be just. You may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. And he's talking about his sin with Bathsheba. He doesn't say it was against Uriah. It was. He doesn't say it was against his other wives or his family. It was. He says, against you, you only have I sinned. Or Job, talk about repentance. Job 42, he says, I've heard you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And we must have real faith. We must believe. We must believe the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Acts 4, 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The narrow gate leads to a very difficult way, and the word that's used there is compressed or squeezed. Paul uses the same word in that passage we read this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. And that hard pressed leads to a hard-pressed way. Or 2 Corinthians 7, 5 uses it again. We were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts. Inside were fears. The way that leads to heaven is a very hard, very difficult way. It's kind of like anything in life. You want to excel in anything? You want to excel in sports? You got to work hard. Right, Josiah? You want to excel in schoolwork? Don't do your homework. No, you better do your homework. You got to do your homework. There's a lot of work. You want to have a good farm? You got to work hard. You got to get up early in the morning and work all day long. And then make your wife work. I didn't say that right, I guess. But you have to work hard. That's it. If you don't work hard, you lose your farm. Everything requires hard work. And the wonderful thing about salvation is Christ did all the hard work. It's still difficult, but he gives us everything we need to go on that difficult, hard way. Everything. Everything we need. Everything. I've been on that road for almost 50 years. He's given me everything I needed. And I've been through some hard things. You have too. And God has given everything you needed. And there are times when we didn't think we were going to make it. But he gives us everything we needed. Ain't that right, Ron? Yes. Everything. Yes. I didn't want to leave anyone out again. The way that leads to heaven is very hard and very difficult because it's the way of perpetual self-denial. You can't get there and be self-indulgent. Perpetual self-denial. Mark chapter 8, 34 and 35. Whoever desires to come after me, these are the words of the Lord Jesus. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. It's hard and it's difficult because it's the way of principled obedience. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. That's the only way that we can come in, by principled obedience. Not perfect obedience. I like that expression. Principled obedience. If it was perfect obedience, none of us would get there. But it's principled obedience. I want to obey. I want to do these things. I want to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want to love my neighbor as myself. Principled obedience. And then it's difficult because it's the way of troubles and suffering. Acts 14:22, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Philippians chapter 1, 29, for to you it has been granted on the behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. How many like suffering? Nope, I don't like suffering. But one day, all those sufferings are going to be put into the balance. And the glory of God is going to be put over here in the other balance. And there's no way that our sufferings are going to even be compared even a little bit to the glory that shall be revealed in us, the scripture says. Jesus tells us that the wide gate, the broad way, leads to destruction. And that's not annihilation. It's eternal, never-ending loss. Loss, not of our being, but of our well-being. All earthly goodness and comfort and happiness as we've known it will be destroyed. No love or joy or peace or hope or satisfaction or beauty, because God's presence and his blessings and goodness will be gone forever. There will only be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Isn't there any goodness? Why isn't there communion and fellowship and love and friends and family? Why? Because all those good things come from the Lord. And we'll lose everything. People will lose everything that comes from the Lord. No more goodness. No more blessing. No more God's presence. Spurgeon says, forever knows no end. Still the soul sees written over its head, you are damned forever. It hears howlings that are to be perpetual. It sees flames which are unquenchable. It knows pains that are unmitigated. It hears a sentence that rolls onward, 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 shaking the echoes of eternity, making thousands of years shake again with a horrid thunder of a dreadful sound. Depart, depart, depart from me, you who are cursed into the eternal fire. This is eternal death. Well, the narrow gate is different. The narrow gate and the difficult way leads to Zoe life, eternal life. Never-ending, soul-satisfying, joyful fellowship with God, in whose presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Thank you, Susan. That's a sweet smile. We should smile about that. I was expecting you to smile, too. In the Gatsby hymnal, there's a hymn that goes like this, Beyond this lower sky, up where eternal ages roll, where solid pleasures never die, and fruits immortal feast the soul. Oh, for a sight, a pleasing sight of our almighty Father's throne. There sits our Savior, crowned with light, clothed in a body like our own. Adoring saints around him stand, and the thrones and powers before him fall. The God shines gracious through the man, and sheds sweet glories on them all. When shall the day, dear Lord, appear that I shall rise to dwell above and stand and bow amongst them all there and view thy face, sing thy love? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. The words of our Lord Jesus, enter by the strait, the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. And because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who are finding it. Amen. Let's pray.